one tonight. If you will, get your book and turn to page 240. Page 240. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let's stand. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the sinners shall gather on the other shore, and the roll is called yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called yonder, when the roll is called.
Is breaking in a way I never thought it could. My mind is racing with the question, are you still good? Can you make something from the wreckage? Would you take this heart and make it whole again? Though the mountains may be moved into the sea, though the ground beneath might crumble and give way, I can hear my Father singing over me. It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. I've blamed myself, and if I'm honest, maybe I've blamed you too. But you would not forsake me, 'cause only good things come from you. Though the mountains may be moved into the sea, though the ground beneath might crumble and give way, I can hear my Father singing over me. It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. From beginning to the end, you're so close. You have never let me down, and you won't. In the valleys and the shadows, I know you're so close, you're so close. mountains may be moved into the sea. Though the ground beneath might crumble and give way, I can hear my Father singing over me. It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. I'm gonna be okay. I'm gonna be okay.
Everything's okay. Right? Good to be back in the house of the Lord. I think we've got a few frozen out this evening. It's been a little on the cool side, but it's always a good time for sleeping when it's cold. Have you ever noticed how that is? You can take a real good nap. I'm not a napper, but I was sitting there this afternoon, and before I knew it, it was 15 after 5, and I was supposed to be here at 5:30. And you know how when you wake up like that, you wake up in a panic. And I was afraid I'd kill somebody on the way here. So I had to slow down my thinking a little bit. But we're here. And if you've got an offering tonight to put in, you can just bring it up and put it in the plate after the service. We won't receive an offering tonight unless you want to bring it up and put it in the plate. Remember Stacy, she's not feeling well tonight, so she's not here, but remember her in your prayers, okay? And we've got a lot of people right now who are in situations we're not in. David Seals, don't forget him. Becky Augustus, don't forget her. People who are watching online, Marie Crosetta watched online today. We had some of you don't know Jewel Stewart's daughter, Debbie. I don't think you ever knew her. When they came here, Jewel and her husband, Debbie wasn't in the picture at that time. She's, in fact, I think they're sending her body back to Kentucky for burial, but she passed away. And Jewel is in NHC out on the Bristol Highway. And so remember all of these in your prayers. We don't know what all is going on in the lives of people, but we know that we have it pretty good. If we're able to get up and get out and get to the house of God, we're in pretty good shape. We are. So if you have your Bibles, turn, and we'll read a couple verses of Scripture, and then we'll talk about a few things here. I should have got Jesse to do a concert. She's doing a good job. I'm sorry? Where are we going? Oh, you rushing me? Okay, Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. It's okay, Pam. I need to be rushed every now and then. Okay. You didn't say that. Look at verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. That's two good things to live by right there, isn't it? It is. But then it goes on to say, because or for, he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There's a couple places he says that to us because he wants us to remember that part, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I'm going to read that one again. So that we may boldly say. Now, to boldly say it means you believe it. It's true to you. The Lord is my helper. And I had to turn my mind around to read it that way, because I always consider myself his helper. But he says that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He's there for help in your time of need, whatever your need is. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless this scripture. And then we'll get a few pointers from this that will help us tomorrow to be what the Lord wants us to be. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for the time again that we have in your house, in your word, singing your songs, and you reminding us through the songs and through the scripture that we do need you. And you are our helper, because you're always there in a time of need. And we thank you for that. And for those who are here tonight, I pray, oh God, that we leave here with something, some little something that'll cause us to be better wherever we are tomorrow, on our jobs, in school, or at home, shopping, wherever we are, that we'll be more for you because we understand more where we are in our relationship with you. We're so thankful for that. Now, Lord, we're going to ask that you bless this scripture and bless it, Lord, so that we get the full extent of it. And we're going to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus Christ has been put on billboards and bulletins and things everywhere that he's the light of the world. Then we understand that we are the light. If you wanted to, you could go back to the message this morning and say there are some ways in which we are like Christ. And one is that he said, I'm the light. But then he also says that we are to be the light, set on a hill, so that we could do. So we resemble him in that way. We're like him. But he stands in the midst of everything. He never is removed from any part of your life, whatever it is. When you get up in the morning and you go out, you may not know what all you're going to be getting into for that day. But it's good to know that he's in the very center of it, so that at any time you can say, the Lord is my helper. You may run into a situation all of a sudden. Things may be going along just really, really good, and all of a sudden your life seems to be turning upside down. Then you'll remember, the Lord is my helper. I can get through this. I can be what I need to be because he's there. He's in the midst of my life. He's in the midst of other lives at the same time, but he's in the midst of your life. Because at that point in time, you're the one that's important, right? It's not a selfish thing to say that. At that point in time, you need help. And you need to know that he is your helper. And you need to know that he's there in the midst of wherever you are. So it says, be not afraid. I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I'm whatever you need me to be. I'll be there. And down through the ages, us weak people, that's what we are, like me and you, we have put our faith in him to be everything he says he is. And I believe he is everything he says he is. So I can put my faith in that and go on about my business. But we've somehow or other walked away or pulled away from the touch of his hand on our life. I hope that's a good way to put that, that we have in some way got away from his touch on our life. And when I say the touch of his hand, that just personalizes it. And how wonderful he is to us, how kind he is to us, how sweet he is to us. All those fruits that we talked about this morning, we tend to not recognize them all the time. And I think it's good for us to get to a place where we could recognize him, recognize that everything and everything, he's in the middle of it all. And I thank him for that. So I thought maybe we could just go back to a time when you were saved. That's the beginning of everything, isn't it? That we go back to the time that we were saved. Our life began when we were saved. Our physical life began when we were born, but our real life began when we were saved. Our eternal life began when we were saved. And so I think that's a good place to go back and start, and to know that God is there in that time. I never realized when I got saved that I had to think that God was there. Okay, if I sound like a philosopher, is that too big a word for everybody? If I sound like that, I'm not. I promise you I'm not. But my mind does go back to the time where I was saved, the church where I was saved. And I remember some things that happened just not long ago. We had a memorial service there in the church where I was saved, and I sat there on the front row with my brothers, who that's where they were also at that time. And I remembered the service that I was saved in. I remember exactly where I was sitting. I remember people. I remember things. And I'm glad I do, because that made it real to me that was where I gave my heart and life to the Lord, and it made a difference in me. And I have not been, as we said this morning, I have not been that perfect person. I've not been that person who had the list of do's and don'ts and did them all right. I did all the do's and I did all the don'ts. I didn't do that. But I remember as perfectly as I can that I was saved on that night in that church at that time. And I remember all the good times we had there, all the good services, the music, the men who had a quartet there. You don't think of an 8 or 9 year old, 10 year old kid remembering who was in the quartet when you grew up and got to be as old as I am, and I'm older than the quartet was at that time. But I remember them singing about the Lord and the song "The Man of Galilee." I'll never forget that song. I remember those times as something was very important to them, and when they sang the songs, it was as important to them as it is to me today. I guess that's why I remember it, was because they sang it with such passion and such compassion, all they did. When the choir sang, the choir just sang out. We didn't have trained voices, not like us here at Liberty, who have all trained voices. They just loved to sing, and they used the old red book, and boy, sometimes song books would fly. Now, I'm not saying that we need more songbook flying around the church. What I am saying, though, is they sang it with feeling. And when they got happy, some of those ladies get happy and shout, and that songbook would go. And wherever it landed, you better be looking out. It's kind of like going to a baseball game, and you're sitting in the place where most of the baseballs come in on the stands. You better be aware that you could get hit and killed by a baseball or a songbook. So just be aware. But I remember the church where I got saved. I remember my salvation. I remember those things. They were important. What I don't remember thinking about, and I don't think anybody does, is that right in the middle of that, God was there. But what I was doing was I was getting rid of my sin. He was taking away my sin, and that was important to me. But for him to know that he was right in the middle of that time when I got saved, never thought of it like that. But maybe we should think of it more like that, that right in the center of our lives, there he was. Because the Bible says salvation is of the Lord. And I got a feeling that if it's of him, he's going to be there to represent himself. So us weak people who saw a need in our life to be saved, and we ask him to save us. He was the one that planned the whole thing. He planned it all. I just stepped into the plan. And I'm so glad that I did, because he planned it for me and he planned it for you. He offers it to everyone. And he invites everyone in. You know, the time we have the need, he invites us in to make sure that need is met. And he did when we were saved. He calls us to himself. Salvation is a going to, from where we were to God himself through Jesus Christ. So that's why we have the that we can boldly go to the throne of grace, is because through his son we have that. And he made sure that we understood that when we got saved, that's where we were. We were right in the middle of the whole plan that he had planned for us. And by the way, the plan doesn't stop when we accepted Christ as our Savior. When he said, "But as many as received, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God." And the power is not mine. He gave it to me, but he gave it to me because I needed it, not just for that moment of salvation, but he knew I would need that for every day of my life. He knew where I would be working. He knew what I would be doing. He knew everything about me before I ever was. And so I received that power to be everything I could be. So he's been there since the very beginning. When you responded, he was there. He was the one who offered a plan of salvation, and he's the one who saved you. So if you have anyone to thank today, don't necessarily thank the preacher who preached the message. I couldn't tell you what the message was about on the evening I got saved. I just knew I came to the realization. When I came to the realization, that's what stuck with me. It wasn't the preacher. It wasn't the message. Some people can say, "Well, I can remember what he preached on, remember where he got the scripture, remember the songs that were sung that night." I don't remember all that stuff. I'm sorry, I don't. But boy, do I remember realizing that I was lost and that I needed a Savior. And what I did realize was that he was there offering that to me. And I took him up on his offer. As to view him as being there, I didn't. I was just too young to know that, but now I know he was there that night, and that's what made it so special, not because I accepted him as my Savior, but because he was there. He's in the middle of it all. And so for my salvation, that's where he was. Then as my life went on, let's just go down through life a little bit. As my life went on, I understood that there was going to be some times of sorrow in my life. Nobody likes sorrow in your life, but when you have sorrow in your life, you need to know that there's an answer to the sorrow that you have. You need to know that there's a help there. So the same help that was there for my salvation is the same help that was there when I went through some times of sorrow, bad times. That's a good way to put it. We understand bad better than sorrow. Sorrow is always bad, but it's not always bad when he gets hold of it, because he can turn the sorrow into good. That's what he said. He can turn the bad into good. But for bad times for us, there were times when I didn't realize whether I would be able to make it or not. You know, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, I wasn't sure about things, but he was always there to make sure and fix that. So in those times of sorrow and suffering in your life, he's right there in the middle of it. So don't forget that. If you go through something tomorrow that you aren't expecting today, and you may do it, just remember when you get into that he's always there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, I thought I had that turned there, but I don't. Does anybody have that real quickly? Or did I say I did? 12:9. Yes, I do. I'm sorry. I messed you up there, didn't I? And here's what he says. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." That be me. And you can say yourself, that be me. "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Amen. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's where you're going to find yourself in this life. After you've been saved and you start living your life, you're going to find that there's more weak about you than you really understand. But in your weakness, He has that perfect strength that you need. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness, and I offer it to you. If somebody offers me a solution to my problem, I'm going to hear them out. And if I see it's a solution for my problem, I'm going to take them up on it, aren't you? Well, He's got the perfect solution, not for just our salvation, but our everyday life. And He's offering it to us. Why wouldn't we take that? Why would we try to go out on our own and live without Him in our life than to go with Him in our life and have that perfect solution? Doesn't make us perfect. It's just His perfect solution for our life. When we need that strength, He's always there. So He's there today. He's there. He'll be there tomorrow. When you see a need in your life to get down on your knees and pray about a situation that's in your life, who's in the middle of that prayer? I'm just telling you, he's always there. He said He was. So I'm putting Him there. When you pray, do you always think, now God, I know You're right here in the middle of this prayer. You're right here, God. I've not always prayed that way. I pray because I feel like I need to pray, or that I'm praying for someone else who said, would You pray for me? And I do that. But do I always pray reminding myself that He's there listening to me? He is so close I can feel His breath. He is so close I can feel His touch. When we pray, we need to pray that way, that's exactly where He is, because He's there in that time of prayer. So next time you get down on your knees to pray, or you're just lying in bed at night getting ready to go to sleep and you're praying to Him, remember, He's a busy God now. You've heard that before, haven't you? He's a busy God. He's never too busy for you. Never. Never. So when you feel like everybody is gone out of your life and nobody cares anymore, and sometimes I have my little pity parties because I'm at home alone a lot now. I'm not really alone. He's always there, but I'm just telling you how it is. Sometimes you have these alone times and you think, what's the use? You say, preacher, you don't feel like that, do you? Hey, come on now, give me a break, okay? I've just been preaching 50-some years, and I can have my little alone time if I want to. So if I tell you that sometimes I feel alone, but at night when I'm going to bed and I lay there with the lights out and I'm praying for the things that are needed at our church, things that are needed in my life, and there are times when I begin the prayer, I feel alone. By the time I get through praying, I know I'm not. So if you'll be reminded in your prayer that He's right there in the center of that prayer, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I don't care what you're going through, it's never too big for Him. Right. And by the way, it's never too small for Him either. Right. So if you think your needs are too small for Him to pay attention to because He's a busy God, I can assure you that's not the case. He is busy, but He's never too busy to answer your prayers, and He will. May not get your answer as soon as you pray, but He'll give you the answer. You'll get the answer. I promise you it'll happen. And when it happens, you'll know. There are millions of people everywhere tonight who are not as well off as you are. And they're in a place where they're praying for a need in their life. And I think of people in our own church right here, little Miss Becky, Lord, my heart goes out to that young, and she's such a sweet lady, and she lays there in that bed wanting to be out of there. You know how she loved to be sitting back there with John, I know that there are times in that rehab center that she feels so alone, And if you deal with people like Lene deals with people at the hospital, you deal with people who are in situations where they have dire needs. We were talking about where she works. She works in the baby department, you know, where it can be a joy or it can be one of the most sorrowful times anywhere in that hospital. And we know that. But God's there, and you're in a good position, honey. You're in a great position because you can remind them that God is in the center of it all. He's right there in the middle of that baby department. I know there's a word for it, but I call it the baby department. I'll let her give you the real name, but it's the baby department, okay? But millions of people everywhere are going through things that you and I don't go through, but God hears them, He hears you, and with all the wisdom that comes from heaven, He answers your prayers. You can't fix yourself. You can't fix yourself through prayer or anything else. You pray to Him and He'll do the fixing. He knows how to go through those prayers and see exactly what you're saying, exactly what you mean. I pray sometimes thinking I know what I need. He knows what I need. And so as He answers my prayer, knowing what I need, because He is who He is, I never forget Pam's PWC that she puts on everything. And it always, Pam, I want to thank you for that, because that always reminds me that I should be praying without ceasing, because He's expecting to hear from me. And I can't pray enough to Him, I promise you. It's a precious time when you have time to thank God for everything He is and then ask Him for your needs. Always thank Him first, because He's always been good to us. He's always answered. He's always done so much for us. So thank Him for that. And then when you have a real serious need in your heart, take it to Him, and take it to Him knowing that He cares for you. He wants to answer your prayer. He wants you to be everything you can be. And the reason for answering your prayer is so that tomorrow you can be a stronger Christian than you were today. You won't be that same weak Christian. You'll still be a weak Christian. We're weak people. No matter how long we live and how much we learn about God's Word, we're still going to be a weak people, because He's the strong one. Whoever wrote that song, "I am weak, but thou art strong," they knew what they were talking about. They did. They'd been there before. No doubt God had answered their prayer also. So when we see a need in our life, we're weak. Needy people are in a weak spot in their life and they need help. And He says, "I just want to remind you that I'm always there. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to be there." So He's there. Now, I don't know if you've ever had any honest persecution or not, you know, any real persecution. I would say with the age of people in here, there's maybe one or two that's not old enough to have had a whole lot of persecution, or they wouldn't see it as persecution anyway. But most of us who have lived any years at all, we've been persecuted in one way, shape, form, or fashion. That's when a person has an agenda toward you. And that agenda is to make your life miserable, to persecute you. Now, you don't have any control over that. So what do you do about that? You pray about that. You go where God is. He knows about the persecution. He's there also, by the way. Because is He everywhere at all times? That's what the Bible tells me. So wherever He is, wherever you are, He is. And wherever someone else would be who's persecuting you, He's there also. I think we come to the conclusion that what we're to do about people who persecute is we're to pray for them. We're to love them and pray for them. You will never, never solve the problem by responding to persecution. It won't happen, because it's not of God, and it only gets worse. It's like pouring fuel on the fire. So don't ever even think that you can solve that issue. He says, I'm your go-to person. I'm the person who can fix the situation. So bring it to me. I'm there. If you're being persecuted, if you try to live close to the Lord and you take these things to Him, whatever the cost is, He'll absorb it. You like that? He'll absorb the cost. You'll come out with no charge. Hey, like that. And he may even offer you zero interest. Right? So let's lose some of these things that are in our life. If you're in a situation where you've gotten in with some worldly situations or worldly ways or worldly people, it's time to part company with that. Not that you part company with a person as far as praying for them and helping them, but it's time you parted company with that. Leave that behind you. Push it behind. When we said this morning, when you get saved, you push yourself out of the way and you receive what he's got, and you take it in. When you receive it, you take it in and hold it as a precious commodity, because that's exactly what it is. It's more precious to you than anything you can. I always thought my children were the most precious thing I had. I don't feel that way anymore. They're there, but they're not. No, the most precious person in my life is my Lord. And they know that, and I want them to know exactly that same thing. Oh, do I want my kids to love me like they always have and treat me better every year than they did the last year? Sure I do. I want to be precious to them. I know I'm not, but I want my kids to know who's precious. And their Savior is precious. He's in the middle of it all. I'm not always there in their life. They've got their own life. Thank the Lord. It's theirs, you know. You go and live it, right? And you're responsible for what you do. But I know that the most precious thing I can give them is the truth of the matter that Jesus Christ, their Savior, is the most precious thing they have in their life. Doesn't mean you don't spend all the time you can with your children. You do. That's why I like Thanksgiving and Christmas and everything. I love it because we have a family time, and you can't beat family time. Take care of your family. Love your family. Most precious thing you'll have down here on this earth. But the one who loves you and your family more than you do, the one who saved you, the one who's there when you're praying at night and needing something in your life and you just don't know where you're going to get it, when something happens to you and you just can't fix it and you say, Lord, what do I do from here? And he says, well, I'm right here. I haven't gone anywhere. It reminds me of that little story about the man who had him a car with a bench seat. I think I told you all this. I remember sometimes telling you, sometimes I don't. So if I tell you two or three times, just remember, I want to hear it too. So I'll tell it again. And she said his wife got in and they pulled up to a stoplight and they looked over and here's this young couple sitting over there and she was sitting over next to him and he had his arm around her, you know, the old... she said, honey, we used to do that. He said, yeah. He said, why don't we do that anymore? What happened? He said, I don't know. I'm in the same place. I'm driving this thing. I haven't moved, he says. And I want to tell you that God hasn't moved. So if things are going sideways in your life and you don't know exactly what to do and you're wondering where he is, he's in the same place. He's still in the driver's seat. If you want to be close to him, scoot over or reach over and take the hand that's not on the gear shift. See, back years ago, we had to have the right hand free with the gear shift. You don't have to have it anymore. You got all automatic stuff. You can reach over and grab his hand and hold it. Right, Lene? Yeah. And it's so nice to just be driving down the road and have somebody reach over and take your hand and let you know that you're cared for. Well, can I tell you that the Lord's taking your hand every day of your life? He's reaching over and touching you every day of your life. It's so important. And when he gets you close enough, he can say, come here, I want to hug you. I want to give you a big hug, a big old bear hug. Oh, my Lord's a hugger. I can tell you, he's a hugger. And he'll hug you and he'll care for you. He'll love you. He will. He's right in the middle of your life. Nobody's closer to you than he is. Not your wife, not your husband, not your children, no one. Grandchildren, they're almost, when they get to be teenagers and get a car, they're gone. They don't care anything about Papa anymore. All mom and dad's worth for them is to put gas in their car so they can go. I'm seeing a few smiles from a few teenagers back there. I'm glad we got them here to smile. So in this world that we live in, you may be persecuted. You may have a whole lot of things going on in your life. But the one who says, I have overcome the world, is the one who's going to take your hand, the one who's going to give you a big hug, the one who's going to take care of you, the one who's going to whip you. You got to have that in there, because if he didn't whip us when we step out of line, he wouldn't be our true father. I can tell you that for a fact. So he's there. He's in the middle of it. He's there when we need him to make these big life decisions that we make, or the little ones. Some of you don't know it yet. You're not at a position in your life where you're going to have to make a life decision. But when you have to make that life decision, you need to know that he's there to help you make that life decision so that you don't make it at the wrong time. Let him step in and make that decision for you. It's important, church. It is. And for some of you younger ones, as time goes on, I pray that you'll be here and be strong in your church. And when those life decisions are being made, please let him make them, because he'll be right there in the very center of your life making those decisions. I don't know what decisions you'll have to make. I don't even know what decisions I'll have to make. I have an idea of decisions that'll have to be made, you know, but I don't know yet. It's not a time yet, so I'm not faced with it yet. You just feel unworthy to sometimes make decisions that involve the Lord in your life. I just know that he said he's there, and when I need him, he'll always be there. That's not going to change. The best thing about the Lord being in my life is not that he was there. Lord, how many years has it been now? Pam says, just say a long time ago. When I go back that far and he's still here in the center of my life, and knowing that it's really true what he said. Now, for some of you, he may have been in your life for 30 years. Or for some of you, he may have been in your life for 13 or 14 years. But some of us, he's been here for, seems like, 800 years. I'm just putting a big number on that because I want you to know sometimes it feels that way. And sometimes I'm not right, but I'm correct in my thinking. It's been a long time. And he's still there. He has never, ever left me. Now, there's been a few times when I look back in my rearview mirror and saw blue lights that I didn't say, Lord, where are you now? I just say, take your foot off the gas, put your brake on, and pull over. And take your whipping, take whatever's coming to you. And I always thank God for that one officer that he might have told them, give him a break today. What a nice feeling that is. Now, I know some of y'all don't drive over the speed limit to where you could get a speeding ticket. But I had a police officer tell me up in Carter County, he said, I don't even bother a car unless it's going 15 over. If it's under that, I don't bother anybody, and I told that to guy one time who stopped me going 10 over. And I said, I didn't think you guys stopped anybody going 10 over. And he said, if it's one over, it's over. I said, thank you, sir. Could I have the ticket now? But God's always there. No matter what you're going through, he's always there. And by the way, I know it's terrible. It's an awful feeling to get a ticket for speeding because you're doing wrong, for one thing. And the other thing is it costs you. That's usually what we think about it. It costs you. Well, it's not the end of the world, okay? Just slow down, as they would say, slow down and have a good day. Right? Yeah, slow down and have a good day. You'll have a better day if you do slow down. I use a cruise, even if I'm in a, no, I can't just say that. 30 mile an hour zone, I said, I don't do that. But if I'm out now driving, I set the cruise. If I don't, I know what'll happen. I'm listening to the music, and if it comes on a good fast tune, I'm done. First thing I know, there's lights behind me. But God will be there. But here's the good thing I was trying to get to tell you, and y'all kind of went off with me there on that little trail, didn't you? Is that he wasn't just there yesterday. Today, he said, I'll always be there. Now, that doesn't just end when I die. Always doesn't end when I die, because my body stays here. My spirit goes on. I'm still living. In fact, I'll be more alive after I die than I am right now. Oh, yeah. It's the truth. I know that spiritually. I wouldn't have believed that if you told me that some years ago. But I believe it now because I know that I'll be more alive after I'm dead than I am now. So y'all have a good celebration. Okay? I want nothing but the finest music that there is. And I'm going to have a CD playing, and I'm going to tell them people down there at that funeral home, they better crank that thing up and make it sound throughout that funeral home. I hate to go into a place where they have that easy listening stuff, and they say, oh, boy, this is funeral music. I ain't want none of that, man. I want some good old I'll fly away kind of thing, you know? Yeah. Because my Lord is the same Lord while I'm here. He's going to be the same Lord when I leave. And he's not going to usher me in with some soft elevator music when I go into Glory Land. I can assure you of that. It'll be like Nick going to UT yesterday to watch them beat Missouri. That was the quietest place he's ever been in, I'm sure. No doubt about it. No, it's not. And I just like to see a little bit of that noise in our churches. And I don't mean that kind of noise where we're rooting for Tennessee to beat Missouri to death. But I mean just that excitement that's there. You see those kids. Watch one sometime. If you never watch a football game, watch one. They're up there right in the middle of that. And by the way, I just looked at Helen there. Me and Jim used to do that too. We were ushers at UT. But I see those kids' faces on there, yeah. And, man, hey. And everybody's excited. Everything's going good. Now, it calms down if you're getting beat. Could I assure you that it does? But my Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's not going to be beat. He can't be beat. So let's remember that and know that when he said, I am there, I'll be there, I'm not going anywhere, I'm with you eternally. It's that when you got saved, what you did was you stepped into a fellowship with the Lord, into a relationship that gave you the fellowship. Okay? Well, that never goes away. When I go to heaven, I'm like Tom in this. I want to see my Lord face to face. I want a fellowship with him. And I don't want a fellowship with him Zoom. I don't want a fellowship with him on texting. I don't want a fellowship with him on FaceTime. I don't want a fellowship with him like that. I want to see his face. I want him to touch me from heaven. Pam says, I want to be in heaven when he touches me. Amen. It grows sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. Now, where's that bass? Oh, okay. Anyway, your life with him is sweeter because he's everything he said he would be. And when he told you that he would be right in the center of your life today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, just live it that way. Don't try to come up with a plan for yourself. Take his plan. His plan's eternal. You can bank it. It's always there. Let's bow our heads. I thank him for us being able to be here tonight. And I want you to leave here knowing that you have something to say to somebody tomorrow. Now, I don't know who that'll be, but the very first person that God puts in your path, you give them some good news, not from Tennessee beating Missouri. That you can talk about that when you go to the cafeteria or something. But a person that God puts in your place, and you'll know who it is when he puts them there. You tell them how good God's been to you. That's what you do. You don't tell them how good God can be to them until you tell them how good he's been to you. Because they've got to know you experienced it. He's good to you. He'll always be good to you. So just tell them that, okay? Our God in heaven, thank you. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the precious word that you've given us to live by, that you're right in the very center of our life. It means everything to us, Lord. We need you. We need you every minute of the day. And help us, Lord, not to forget that. Now, for everyone who's in here tonight, I pray that we all leave with just one thing from this message. If it's just one thing, leave with that one thing that we'll wake up in the morning remembering that it'll make a difference in our day tomorrow. And we're going to praise you, Lord, for everything. You're just so good to us. And we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. We pray this prayer. Amen.